Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll tell you the verse here in a little bit. As you heard in Scott's prayer, well, first of all, good evening. Getting ahead of myself a little bit. Sorry about that. Thanks so much for being here this evening. It's so good to see each and every one. It truly is a blessing being here Wednesday nights and the opportunity to get to be with you all. And I know some of you been together all this evening with the meal and hearing great things about that. And as you heard in Scott's prayer, one of the prayer requests, of course, was for Bill and his mom. He had to go to Mountain Home, and I don't know all the details, but just I think they were moving her to a different facility, so he had to be down there and help with that move for her. So, of course, as Scott mentioned, keep Bill and his family, as well as his mom, and, of course, all the others that Scott mentioned and Bob mentioned as well. So when I learned that Bill was gone tonight, that's why you're stuck with me. I apologize, I don't have a PowerPoint for you. So I would encourage you to use your Bibles and focus on the scriptures that we're going to be going to. This particular lesson is one, you know, you might think being close to Valentine's Day, that's why we're going to have a little lesson on love tonight, but it really has hardly anything to do with Valentine's Day. It's a lesson that I need every day that you'll see here in a moment why I think we need to remind ourselves of what love is. Scripture I should have read with a devotional thought when I read 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 1 chapter 6, when Paul's telling Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. And of course, that puts some responsibility on us that we, when we receive the gift, it doesn't just sit there. We're supposed to do something with it. And what's interesting is in verse 7, remember when we become Christians, as we read from Acts 2 and 38, that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is probably one of my favorite passages is 1 Timothy, or 2nd, excuse me, did I say 1 Timothy? I meant to say 2nd Timothy, I said 1 Timothy. 2nd Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, when Paul says to Timothy, remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And he goes on in verse 7, says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." I don't know about you guys, but when I think about love and the love I should have not only for God, but for my neighbor, I struggle often, probably on a daily basis, in terms of how I should love my neighbor and what that should be like. And I wonder sometimes if I don't, obviously the mistake that we too often make is we rely on ourselves, or we look at ourselves for a source of too much strength, or we try to do things too much on our own, and then we realize so much like the Israelites during the period of the Judges when they went through the cycle of falling away from God and then coming back to Him. And of course, God had the patience to send them the judge to help them out of their problems. But God has given us a spirit, to help us. In other words, we're to rely, of course, on God, not ourselves. And when we do fall, it is because we're not looking to God as we should for our strength. Whenever we sin, we're thinking too much about kind of taking care of things ourselves or doing things ourselves. And I think, or at least I'll speak for myself, I think I often forget about the Spirit that God's given me to help me. And when you think about 2 Timothy 1, 7, He gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And I just want to focus on the word love tonight. Of course, each of those could easily be its own lesson. But what we have through what God has given us that helps us on this journey that we're on. It helps us every day. And when you think about the love that we have through the Spirit, God shows us just what kind of love that is and how to have that love. So that's what I want us to look at tonight, or study together tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. So I guess the Pharisees thought, well, he may have silenced the Sadducees, but he won't do that to us, so we'll test him. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, of course, this is Christ answering that Pharisee, that lawyer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You've probably studied to where you compare the two great commandments with the Ten Commandments. And when you think about the Ten Commandments, the first four, of course, you think about related to God, and the other six related to our neighbor. But this goes a lot farther than that. It's not just the Ten Commandments. It's all the law and the prophets. So we're talking about the two greatest commandments, summing up a lot of things that, of course, God did for his people. And why did God have all those laws for his people and send all his prophets to try to tell them what they should know? Because he loved them, and he loves us in the same way. And when we think about God's love for us, the riches that we have that we studied through the Devo tonight, it's simply because of how much God loves us. And so when you think about the two greatest commandments summing up all the law and the prophets, it really does kind of become simple in terms of what it is. I mean, maybe acting upon it each day, of course, becomes challenging because of a number of things, largely due because of ourselves. But when we think about how simple the two greatest commandments are, it is, I don't know about you guys, but I have some words in practical living that are kind of favorites of mine, and simple is one of them. I like the word simple. Balance, minimal, things like that as far as practicality in our lives. But when I see this, when I read this passage and think about it, the two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor. So turn to 1 John chapter 4. Let's start with actually 1 John chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For that is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Why are his commandments not burdensome again? Because he loves us. If we meditate each day upon what God wants for us and realize everything he wants for us, it's for our good, and because of how much he loves us, it will make things go so much better on a given day. I think the most recent word I've heard, mindfulness. In fact, I read something. It's one of those things I shouldn't have laughed. It's probably not very funny, but maybe you'll find some humor in it. But I read that a St. Louis school district, I'm not sure which one, we're talking elementary students, they don't want elementary students to have out-of-school suspension. So instead of out-of-school suspension, they have a reflection room for them. I know Andy will appreciate this. And they're having them do mindfulness yoga. You need to take that back to school. And of course, I know you're a high school student, so just tell them you've got the thing that will work now is have them do mindfulness yoga instead of, yeah, might work for the staff. Anyway, mindfulness meaning the word we probably often use is meditate or to think upon. But each day as Christians, when we study God's word, we're doing more than just reading. We're thinking upon it and, of course, praying about it and asking God to help us apply his word and his will for us in our lives as we live each day and as we meet challenges throughout the day. That's what, of course, praying without ceasing means, is we're praying to God again, God, help me to deal with this, and of course, based on his will. And that's why it's so important that we are constantly in his word and thinking about his will for us, because he loves for us. His commandments are not burdensome. But how do we show our love for God? It's simply to keep his commandments. For that, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So again, that seems kind of simple, but we can't keep them unless we know them. So that's why it's so important that we continually study, of course, God's word to know his commandments, remembering, though, that those are there for our good, because he loves us so much. And I want to spend most of our time on loving our neighbor, is why I'm kind of moving ahead. Of course, as it is true with any study of God's word, you can take a verse, sometimes even a word, and spend a lot of time on it. But I want to move on to that second greatest commandment about loving our neighbor. In 1 John chapter 4, and then, of course, obviously, here's the connection to the first greatest commandment. Let's start with verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So it's not just first commandment and second commandment. Those are definitely intertwined with each other. You can see from the last part of that verse, whoever loves God must also love his brother. In other words, if we say we love God, but we hate our brother, we're liars. I know liar is a pretty strong term, but that obviously that makes a very strong point for us to recognize God saying to us, you're not showing love for me if you don't love your brother. In fact, you see your brother, but you haven't seen me, so don't tell me that you love me if you hate your brother. So then that, of course, brings us to, how do we love our brother? As yourself. Okay, but what is love, Bill? Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Right before we get into that, which is we're going to spend most of our time this evening, who's our brother? Who's our neighbor? Anybody can speak up on this one. Right. Or country. So who's our neighbor? Who's our brother? In everyone in the world? Our neighbor? Our brother? I think we could all see that from Scripture. You just think about your day to day. You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody kind of angry with somebody today? Maybe not outwardly, but in your mind? Of course, I mean, we all have that. You know, For those of you who don't know, I'm an assistant principal at a high school, and so dealing with staff and students and parents, this is what I need to remember the most, because when students don't like what I have to say, and I'll tell you, I know you wouldn't have the opportunity to sit and watch me, but I really do try to be very gentle, but also very straightforward in terms of trying to get students, whenever they come to my office for discipline, to see what it was they did, why that wasn't the best choice, what they could do better next time, and then, of course, what we're assistant principals are famous for is the consequences that go with it. But sometimes kids don't see it the way I try to get them to see it. Sometimes parents don't like that either. Sometimes staff members get aggravated at me. And I'll tell you, Quita can probably speak. Of course, I know she might be a little biased, but we work in the same school. I think I do my best in those things, but there are times, of course, that if I don't remember this, the love that God has given me through the Spirit, that I can rely on God to help me deal in every situation, then sometimes I don't do it the way I need to do it. Brother Jim?
I have to say,
those rats
get pretty honest sometimes.
They can. We all can. Jim? Yeah.
And then it can refer to the whole world, like you said, that just before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in December 7, 1941, I believe it was late 30s, Hirohito, they believe that Shinzo was some ancestors a lot. And, but he said an interesting statement.
Yeah.
And I think that was an interesting statement. All men and brothers, and why are the waves so rich? Talking about the war, our oncoming war.
Right. If all men are brothers, why are the waves so restless? And of course, that comes back to individuals and the choices they make, and forgetting that we are all brothers. And of course, each of us sees that in our daily lives as we deal with people on a daily basis. We see that in our communities. You only have to look at the news, of course, to see what's going on in our country and in the world. And we can just say, if only we recognize that we are all brothers and that God's will for us is the answer. And of course, Christ and what he's done through Christ for us is the answer, and that's the responsibility we have. Remember, as we studied in the Devo tonight, all the gifts, the gift of eternal salvation, eternal life that we have because of God's grace, his gift of his grace. We're so rich, but we're to fan into flame that gift. We're to use that gift to serve others. So let's remember that. So 1 Corinthians 13, of course, often referred to as the love chapter. Often read at weddings. I think I heard it most recently. Brother Milligan read it at Alyssa and Caleb's wedding. Didn't he? I think I remember that right. Yeah. Last December. I don't know about you guys, but I often have trouble getting past the first one. Love is patient. And of course, we could do a lesson on each one of these, but I want us to think about a couple of things in terms of their entirety to maybe help us and for us to remember if we're to love our, and this is the whole point of this, if we're to love our brother, our neighbors, we need to know what love is. You know, Bill gave a definition of love, which was correct, but 1 Corinthians 13 outlines what it is and what it isn't. In fact, it's interesting. Did you start to say something else, Bill? Yes, and that may be why I struggle getting past that first one too often. I need to be more patient. My dad thought I was always patient fishing because I could sit there for a long, long time without a bite and just I enjoyed that. And he told me more than once he was surprised how patient I was fishing. My mom doesn't think I'm so patient. She's 86, some of you know her, and she has said more than once to me, when you get to be 100 like me, you'll know what it's like. I told me the other day I wouldn't make a very good counselor. So that's not on her, that's because she's saying that because I'm not being as patient as I need to be. I'm definitely not meaning that she's in any way the wrong. I'm giving an example of where I need to be a little bit more patient. But it's interesting to note, I count 16 things about love. And I should be able to stand up here and just spout those off for memorization. That should be a goal of mine. I challenge you to be the goal of yours. There's 16. There's 8 things that love is not, and there's 8 things that love is. Okay? So as we study this passage and as we look forward, I'd encourage you to think about those 16 things, and that's where I apologize not having these up here in front of you to see, but look at your Bible or make notes. One of the many things on my list of things to do, God willing, and I have enough time to get it done. You may have heard of infographics before, where an infographic is just an illustration that gives a lot of information in one thing, and I'm going to put an infographic together one of these days that has these 16 things illustrated in them because some way I need to learn these better, memorize them. I should be able to give you all 16, but I'm looking at my note card right now. But we're going to look at the 8 things love is not and the 8 things love is. I'm going to read these to start with. Love is not arrogant, rude, irritable, resentful. Love does not envy, boast, insist on its own way, rejoice at wrongdoing. Of course, as you look at the verses, those are a little bit spread out, but I wanted to kind of group them. The is nots, the does nots, but there's 8. I guess you could call them negative definitions, but what love is not. It's not arrogant, rude, irritable, resentful. It does not envy, boast, insist on its own way, or rejoice at wrongdoing. So as we think about loving our brothers, loving our neighbors, what's some things that you notice as you think about the things love is not? I'll go back to my example with my mom. Well, that's the positive part of it, the patient thing. But it could be some of the negative if I'm not... I'll confess, I've been irritable. Maybe even resentful sometimes. So when we think about loving our brothers, loving our neighbors, it's what's happening right then with our brother or neighbor that we need to be reminded of these things, because isn't it when things happen, then we're tempted to be irritable or resentful? And the example that I gave, think in your own mind, situations in your own life, do they make you irritable or resentful as you deal with people? Could be family members, friends even, or it could just be someone that you don't even know, that you just have a connection with because of what you're doing throughout the day. Like you just, you know, went through Walmart one day and register. I could tell she wasn't feeling very good, and I asked her, you know, you're about done with your day? And she's like, no, I'm just getting started, and went on to tell me about how she didn't feel very good. You know, I've seen other people in stores that come across a person like that and don't treat them very nice. In other words, don't show love for that particular person. But think in your own mind, as we deal with people, how about does not envy, boast, insist on your own way, or rejoice at wrongdoing? I'll confess, I struggle sometimes with the rejoice at wrongdoing thing. I'll use an example of sports teams. When I see certain athletes or teams not act the way I think they should, I kind of am glad when they get beat. That's not the attitude I should have. I don't have to cheer for them, but I shouldn't be glad that they got beat or, you know, got what was coming to them, so to speak, that kind of thing.
John,
yes, sir.
I've got to act and try to be loved by others.
Yeah.
I don't do that all the time.
We don't. Yeah. But to do that, to be loved by others, we need to love first.
We got to try to deserve it.
Yeah. Any comments, questions in terms of especially the love is not, the eight things, it's not or does not. It's not arrogant, rude, irritable, or resentful. It does not envy, boast, insist on its own way, rejoice at wrongdoing. Jim? You can say as much as you want, Jim.
There was a gospel preacher several years ago. I think he used to preach up around in here. I think he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he went to a town, I don't know which state it was here in the mid-south or southwest. He went to that town to hold a gospel meeting. And it was on Friday.
Invited the barber.
Invited the barber was a member of the church.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to that church. They're divided. They're having all kinds of problems. Boy, he went back to his hotel room and he changed his two or three sermons. And he preached Sunday morning. And appreciating one another. And I'm telling you, after he got through, I already tell him when we were back in Fort Worth, I think, he said that after the service, there was two men in the back like we have here, embracing one another, crying. Maybe two like these. And all things changed in that church. They became united and as one, and they started growing.
Yeah. We do. That's a very good point, Jim. We need to remember that all of us need to remember that we're one.
Fine city, one of the best you can live in. And
They're watching, exactly, yeah.
They're watching us more than
you. That's right. That's exactly right. No, if you have another thought, you can talk some more. But that is a very good reminder for us to remember that others are watching, not just each of us individually in our daily lives, but especially those that come in here looking. And Jim's right. If they see us not loving each other, why would they want to have any part of that? So we, of all people, need to remember what it is to love each other. And like Jim said earlier, brother can mean your family brother. It can mean our brothers and sisters that we're talking about here. And also, of course, brothers that would be around the world. Bill? Yeah. As you would have them, yeah. Yeah. And as we think about that one verse, we need to think about what love is. I don't know about you guys, but when I read that list of what it's not, it's not arrogant, rude, irritable, resentful, does not envy, boast, insist on its own way, rejoice at wrongdoing. Those things, as I think about my own life, they come too often kind of as a reaction to something that's happened or someone that has said something. And that's why it's so important that we truly do pray without ceasing, that we start our day in God's Word and in prayer. And we ask God to help us that when we do meet those situations or those things come up, that we're ready not to react. I know one of the things that I try to get across any chance I get is I ask kids, you know, what do you value? What's important to you? Because that's a decision that we need to make first before we make all the other decisions. In other words, I try to make all my decisions based on the value I have in God and His will for me and His Word. And so as I go throughout the day, that's my basis, or should be, of course. But think of all the people who don't have anything like that. What are they making decisions based on? Typically, if they don't have a foundation of values and what they make their decisions based on, they make them on what feels good, what they want to do, what others talk them into doing, that kind of thing. So we need to have what's important to us in place first, and then as we respond to situations, as we make decisions, we'll make those according to God's will because we've already established that as our foundation. And now the eight things that are stated in a positive way. Love is patient. As I said earlier, I think one reason I struggle a lot with this whole passage is I don't get past that. Because I find myself too often in too many situations not being patient like I should. Love is patient and kind. It rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never ends, at the very beginning of verse 8. So we're talking about chapter 13, verses 4 through the first part of 8. So the other eight things that love is, it's patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never ends. Wow, is that something we'd want? That sounds really good, doesn't it? So why don't we want that more? Or do we realize that we're missing that sometimes? Bill?
I've got to think about it no more. I know that all these things apply to that. That's old Bill White.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, yeah, we need to remember the responsibility we have ourselves, exactly. patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never ends. We need to make sure that we use that word love. That's one of my concerns in society today. I know in my setting, hardly ever use that word. In fact, people kind of, I think, feel uncomfortable if you say that you love them or you encourage them to love everyone. We had a Glendale Kickapoo basketball game last night. A lot of people make that more than a game, more than a regular game. It's one of those rivalry, you've heard of rivalry games. I guess in my experience, I don't like rivalry games because that's typically where the bad sportsmanship comes out. But a lot of people have fun with them, no matter what level, high school, college, professional, probably more so high school and college. You may hear of rivalry games at professional level, but it's probably not as big of a deal as what you hear at the college level and, of course, high school, and maybe in some of your area high schools, and you think of a particular team that's a rival. I've seen rivalry games that go very well, and hopefully you've experienced some of those too. But I've also seen rivalry games that it's almost like, let's see if we can outdo the other team with how bad we can act kind of thing. But anyway, everything went okay last night. And as I left, one of the students, and it's one of those honorary ones, and I know he was just saying this to get a rise out of me, and he said something to the effect, he was trying to get my attention, I know, but it was something to the effect, I want to get in a fight with those guys or something like that. And he was just truly kidding. He was just trying to get a rise out of me kind of thing. And I just knew from his voice who he was and the location outside that he was at. And as I got in my car and I said his name, I said, just love everybody. Just love everybody. And, of course, kind of in a little bit of a way, kind of kidding him back because he's one of those that likes to, just say things to see how you'll respond kind of thing. But I think the closest word probably that I've heard in education, I don't know about some of the rest of you in education, that comes to love is respect. But rarely hear the word love in my setting. I don't know about you guys, but too often I'm afraid in society that when the word love is used, it's definitely not in this way that we're studying tonight. So we need to make sure we get the word out of what love is, and of course, as we've been talking here tonight, to make sure we model that and we show others what that looks like, and pray to God every day that when we may get in a situation that's uncomfortable or frustrating, and that's the best time to show others what love is. It's easy, of course, to love those that love you. In fact, of course, Scripture that says that. But also Scripture says love your enemies. And of course, the best example we have of all is Christ on the cross when he said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Of course, forgiveness is something we haven't talked about tonight, but it's also very clear from Scripture that just as we're to love our brothers or we don't love God, we're to forgive or God does not forgive us. I think that heard the first bell. Back to those eight again that were stated positively. Patient, kind, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never ends. Any other comments or thoughts? I know they're going through your head. You don't have to share them out loud, but I want to give you that opportunity. Yeah. And I totally agree. How do we recognize that humility? Just think of what God, back to 1 John 5 that we read. Or actually, I want to back up to one we haven't read yet. 1 John 4, begin verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. How humbling is that? To recognize what God has done for us, to recognize what He's done through His Son for us. And when we see that, and we have the love for God by obeying His commandments and the love for our neighbors, all our neighbors, and remember what that love looks like and what it doesn't look like. And of course, we all know that's a lifelong goal. It's a lifelong effort that we want to make. But it's not something, you know, we think about tonight. I would again encourage us all to think about it each and every day, because if we don't know, it kind of goes back to how we love God. If we don't know His commandments, how do we love if we don't know what love is and what it's not? So I'd encourage us all to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8a, or memorize those two lists, the eight things that love is not and the eight things love is. Any other prayer request other than what Bob mentioned and what Scott included in his prayer earlier? It's good to have Barbara with us. Any others? Okay, let's all bow our heads together as we close with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for all that You've done. Father, we are truly humbled to think about what You've done for us, the gifts that You've given. Help us, Father, to then do something with those gifts, to fan in the flame, to serve others. And Father, help us to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Father, to love our neighbor as ourself. Help us to constantly strive to know Your will, so we can love You more and more, and to know what love is, so we know how to love our brothers. And Father, help us to remember to love each other, to show others just how wonderful the Christian life is, just how wonderful Your kingdom is and was meant to be, and to share that wonderful news with all those around us. Father, be with those mentioned earlier in need of Your healing hand, especially Clint Holden and his family, Cheryl Lowe and her family and their losses, Clint's sister and Cheryl's mom. Also rejoiced to see Barbara with us this evening. Father, thank You so much for all Your many blessings. Help us now throughout the rest of this week to be Your light, to love as You'd have us to love. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.